On a day like today with the thunder and lightning, it'd be a good day to have a fire and brimstone lesson. That way you'd have special effects and everything. But it is Mother's Day, and we want to honor all the mothers that are with us today and those that have gone on to their reward. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in Romans chapter 16 and verse 13. Now a man came home from work and found his three children outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud. The door of his wife's car was open, and was the front door of the house, and there was no sign of the dog. Proceeding into the entryway, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked down. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring on the cartoon channel, and the family room was covered with toys and various items of clothing. In the kitchen, dishes filled the sink. Breakfast food was spilled on the counter. The fridge door was open wide. The dog food was spilled on the floor. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or that something serious had happened. He was met with a small trickle of water as it made its way out of the bathroom door. As he looked inside, he found wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys strewn all over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste had been smeared over all the mirrors in the walls. As he rushed to the bedroom, he found his wife still curled up in bed and in her pajamas, reading a novel. She looked up at him, smiled, and asked how his day went. He looked pretty bewildered and asked, "What happened here today?" She smiled again and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me what in the world I did all day?" "Yeah," was his reply. He said, "Well, today I didn't do it." So Abraham Lincoln wrote, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Now Lincoln's mother had been a great influence on his life, and perhaps more than his father did. Mothers of the past did have a great influence, perhaps, than modern mothers, because they were home all the time. They never worked outside the home. Now you have to feel for mothers today, because I think many of them would rather stay home and care for their children and do the motherly things, but the pressures of society, you know, wanting them to have more and more, forces them to have a full-time job outside the house in many cases. It's sad, but it's true. Perhaps if we all lived on less, we'd have a little more. We might have less material things, but we'd have more spiritual value and strength, and also have more influence on our children. So today we want to honor our mothers, of course, and honor our mothers should be an ongoing thing, not just once a year, but all year. Now, three different scriptures or thoughts that give tribute to mother on which we can learn. Now, a mother never ceases to be motherly. In our text this morning, Romans 16, verse 13, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." Now the Apostle Paul said that the mother of his friend Rufus had been a mother to him as well. No doubt she was concerned for Paul like his own mother would have. And she probably cooked meals for him or did some other things like any mother would. So he felt that love from her, that motherly love. Now, did you ever have a childhood friend who stayed at your house more than they did at their own house? And if so, did your mother them just like she did you? Or maybe it was you who stayed at your good friend's house and it was his mother or so that was like a second mother to you back then. Now, once a mother, always a mother. When a mother ceases to have children at home, she's still a mother and does motherly things, even if it's a matter of mothering other children. It's just in their nature to be that way. And it's a great thing, a comforting thing, as Paul learned, to have someone who cared for you that way. So did you ever have a second mother? That is, did you have some woman in your life whom you considered to be a second mother to you? What a great blessing that is. Scarlett D. Cleburne, from Cleburne, Texas, "My second mother. She said, teachers are like second parents. Between junior high and high school, I have had 36 different teachers. Of those, none have made a bigger difference on my life than Mrs. Lisa Benson. Mrs. Benson teaches accounting at Cleburne High School. Since the first day I met her, my freshman year, she has helped mold my future. As a freshman, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. The first day of class, Mrs. Benson discussed what accounting was and how it relates to the real world. The enthusiastic tone in her voice and extensive knowledge of the profession made me become interested in an accounting career. Every question I asked was answered with a complete honesty and with no sugarcoating. At that moment, I knew I wanted to be in accounting. The way Mrs. Benson taught also helped me choose the occupation. And she also never gave up on students who didn't understand. Mrs. Benson would always hear the student out and try to think of a way, a word, or lesson that would click in their minds. She constantly listened to our thoughts and opinions and made sure we felt like grown-ups. I found myself, and still find myself, often asking her for advice, her opinions, and personal life questions. She slowly became a woman whom I looked up and admired. I felt like I could come to her for anything and really trusted her with my life. So that's great. Again, it's a nice tribute to a lady who became a second mother. So mothers are always mothering. Once a mother, always a mother. And it's so great when someone cares for people that way. And that's what mothers do. Thank God for mothers who never stop loving, never stop giving, never stop caring, and never stop mothering, even when it's not their own child. So we probably have our own second or maybe third mothers in our lives, that people we counted on and trusted. But a mother teaches a child obedience too. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth." Long life on this earth kind of reminds me of the joke, "I brought you into this world, I'll take you out of this world." You know, when parents get angry. But, you know, it talks about a long life if we honor them. If children are to obey their parents, that includes their mother. In fact, sometimes mothers are more the disciplinarians than the fathers, simply because they may spend more time with the children. A friend who is 79 years old wrote, "Mom was left with four children when my dad died. We were 15, 10, 8, and 2. She didn't have it easy with us. Her main discipline was a strap which could sting, although it did us a lot of good. I learned to cry right away. Our crying seemed to make her stop. She often made us go to our room for time out, too. So if we didn't eat something she thought was good for us, we went without dessert. So usually I ate it, even though it made me gag a little. I wanted that dessert. I still like desserts with every meal." How funny. So here's someone who recognized the value of his mother and her guidance that she gave him. Another mother who had a problem child was advised by a psychiatrist, "You are far too upset and worried about your son. I suggest you take tranquilizers regularly." On her next visit, the psychiatrist asked, "Had the tranquilizers calm you down?" "Yes," the boy's mother replied. "And how's your son now?" She said, "Who cares?" You know, the answer to raising a problem child is not that. I'm sure that it might get some mothers who would like a solution, however, but at least one with the on certain days and stuff like that, that you could just escape from that. What is it, "Cow gone, take me away," is the old commercial that used to play out there. Mothering or being a mother is a tough job. And sometimes it's very exasperating. And we want to escape that, but mothers always hang in there. Irma Bombeck wrote, "When my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out." Someone also wrote, "I love to play hide and seek with my kid. But some days my goal is to find a hiding place where he can't find me until after high school." So, you know, it is exasperating to raise children. You know, and sometimes they can wear on us a bit. A mother teaches her children to obey because she has learned the lesson of obedience to her parents and to God. Proverbs 10:1. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. Again in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He who spares a rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far away. In Proverbs 29:15, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother. So, whichever way you fall on the rod or the staff and stuff like that of its use or not, there are methods, but we do have to discipline our children whether we do that or not. Now, nowadays, when our mother sent us to our rooms, there was nothing to do there. Now, if you send your kid to your room today, there's a video game, there's TV, there's all kind of things that they can still enjoy. So the discipline has to be real, whatever way you fall on that line. Someone said that these insightful words to mothers, children are going to grow up, so they need to be taught to obey authority figures. They're going to have a hard time following rules, have a hard time obeying their boss, the laws of the land, and their government if you don't teach them. And then they'll be saying the world is against them and wondering why everyone in society wants them to obey rules and their elders. Then you realize as a parent you failed to instill those rules and laws into your child when they were little. You let them believe they were equal or better than everyone, including their bosses in the government. You let them believe they didn't need to obey anyone. Mutual respect is not going to work with their boss. They'll have to work and obey, and it'll be hard on them because, someone never taught them how to obey. So we do need to teach them to obey the authorities, to obey the boss, to get along, to be nice to other people. All those things mainly come from our mothers who teach that to them. And thank God for mothers who cared enough and loved enough to discipline their children in order to make them behave and teach them to respect authority in life. And a mother lives a life of faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So Timothy's faith came at least in part from his mother and his grandmother. So thank God for a mother's faith. Paul knew where he learned that and where he got that. Abraham Lincoln said, I remember my mother's prayers and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Again in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And do not forsake your mother's teaching. Real important. When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, well, I guess he knocked the props out under Christianity, didn't he? The other said, no, I don't think he did. Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life, and until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. Our four ministers were discussing the merit of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version, best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Standard Version, best because it was more literal and comes nearer to the original Greek and Hebrew. The third liked the more modern New International Translation best. And the fourth minister was silent. Well, they asked him to express his opinion on that. He replied, I like my mother's translation best. The other three were surprised and they all wondered, what he was driving at. He said, yes, he replied. Mother translated the Bible into everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. So, someone once wrote, mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but their hearts forever. God bless our mothers this morning with his blessings and good blessings for the future. There are many great mothers out there, great mothers of the faith, and today we celebrate that with them. And as we should each and every day, give them the honor and the due and the respect that they deserve. I don't know what your condition is this morning, but won't you come as we stand and sing a song. Jason?